Reading this morning is from the book of Acts, verses 36 to 43. In Joppa, there was a woman named Tabitha, who was a believer. Her name in Greek is Dorcas, meaning a deer. She spent all her time doing good and helping the poor. At that time, she got sick and died. Her body was washed and laid in a room upstairs. Joppa was not very far from Lydda, and when the believers in Joppa heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him with this message: "Please hurry and come to us." So Peter got ready and went with them. When he arrived, he was taken to the room upstairs, for all the widows crowded around him, crying and showing him all the shirts and coats that Dorcas had made while she was alive. Peter put them all out of the room, knelt down and prayed. And he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Peter reached over and helped her to get up. Then he called all the believers, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news about this spread all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed on in Joppa for many days with a tanner of leather named Simon. Praise be to God.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thank you, Marlene, for that reading from Acts chapter 9. About a woman called Tabitha. And often in the scriptures, sometimes you come across this where people have a couple of names. So Tabitha is probably an Aramaic name, but Dorcas was her Greek name. It's a beautiful name. It actually means gazelle. Lots of commentators pick up on this. It means gazelle. Beautiful name. Now, you might be a little bit surprised for this passage this morning, because you might be conscious that we've got the congregational meeting coming up about budget, thinking, well, David, where's this passage about money? And that'd be a good one to preach on this morning, wouldn't it? Well, just bear with me. And I think there'll be some things from this passage that will be really helpful to reflect on. Here's this extraordinary miracle that Peter does. Extraordinary miracle. If you haven't read the book of Acts lately, or haven't read it before, I really encourage you to do it, to read Acts and let your mind and your heart be blown by what you read. And this is one of those passages where at the passage before this, Peter has gone to Lydda and has healed someone. He's there, not far from Joppa. Okay, and it's interesting that the passage just finishes, like the very last thing that Marlene mentioned was that he stayed in the house of Simon the tanner. And you go, oh, that's interesting, okay. But it actually leads into what happens next, because in the next part of Acts, Peter goes through this existential crisis of where he is called to the Gentiles. And as a Jewish person who's called to eat things that he would normally see as unclean, he has to wrestle with himself. Simon the tanner was probably a Gentile. This is where he starts. Anyway, it's just interesting. Please read Acts. It's just extraordinary what is taking place here. Three things this morning. One, look at what Tabitha was known for, just to look a little bit more at Tabitha or Dorcas. Secondly, I want to look at where's my money go? And thirdly, I want to talk just very briefly about generosity. all connected in with this passage. Last week I mentioned in regards to these questions about legacy. The first question, what legacy do you hope to leave within this church community? We hear the legacy that Dorcas left in this passage, Tabitha. The legacy that she left was that she was a disciple. She was a disciple of Jesus. And verse 36 says that she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. This is what she was known for. This was her legacy, that she was known for her acts of charity. There's basically two highlights in this passage. One is that Dorcas is raised to life by Peter. As I mentioned, that they know that Peter is sort of up the road a little bit, and they send a message to him, please come to Joppa. So one highlight is that she is raised to life by Peter. It's almost a by the way kind of thing, because part of the focus here is very much on Dorcas and her ministry, and her being indispensable to the mission of God amongst the widows, particularly in Joppa. What she was doing amongst them was indispensable. Now, to be a widow in the ancient world was a deeply difficult existence. There was a loss of identity, a loss of purpose, and often ended in destitution. There was little or no support network for them, except in Joppa, with a highly skilled seamstress who loved Jesus, was a follower, a disciple of his way. She knew how to make and to mend clothes, and did so supporting many widows within that community. Dorcas, as a follower of Jesus, recognized that these skills that she had could be used in the service and the mission of Christ. We can reasonably assume that as she sewed, that as she mended, and no doubt as lots of conversations took place with these widows along those lines about sewing, mending, but we can reasonably also assume that she also talked about Jesus as that happened. Clearly, she was loved by this widow community as her death rocked their world. And Peter is sent for. Reverend Olive Fleming Drane, who is a mission consultant with the Church of Scotland in Glasgow, says this about Dorcas. It is a striking example of how an ordinary person connecting with other ordinary people can do extraordinary things in mission. And it's a tribute to Peter that though he had never met her or her circle of widows, he recognised that she was doing what he could never do and responded to the request of her friends to support them in their time of need. She goes on to say this: the story of Tabitha and her friends is one that speaks so eloquently into our context today as we struggle to discover what mission might look like in our own situation. End of quote. Dorcas had a particular skill. She was also known as a follower of Jesus. These two things came together in this little group of widows that were led by Tabitha. This was clearly a missional opportunity that Tabitha took with both hands and ran with it. Now, obviously, there were a couple of things that came to mind straight off for me in our own situation. Certainly our Quiltabouts group, which is going through some soul searching at the moment. You know, as Margot and Joycelyn and Lester as well ponder its future. Does it have a future? And the other thing that quickly came to my mind was Touchstones, and we've had lots of conversations about it and its possible rediscovering its identity and its purpose. Could it be that, again, something like this Tabitha group of people sharing together, and there's, in the midst of that, there's conversations also about Jesus. What other possibilities? Do we have some hidden Tabithas in our midst who have a particular skill or interest, who love Jesus, and where they might be a meeting of these two loves in a missional opportunity? At the very least, it prompts us to dwell a little more on that first question on this sheet from last week. What legacy do you hope to leave within? For Tabitha, it was, as the NIV puts it, that she was always doing good and helping the poor. Some of you might be familiar with the movie It's a Wonderful Life, which has Jimmy Stewart in it. Jimmy Stewart, great actor, Jimmy Stewart, James Stewart. And some of you know It's a Wonderful Life. It's often seen around Christmas time because it's at Christmas. Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed, I think, is the other one that's in it. It's a story of, let me just get my notes here. It follows the story of George Bailey, who's this compassionate man who has sacrificed his own dreams to help the residents of his little small town, Bedford Falls. He runs the family business, particularly after his father dies, Bailey's Building and Loan. So they're into building houses, loaning money, all that kind of thing. Just a little business. There's a pivotal moment in the movie where George and his new bride, Mary, are about to leave for their honeymoon. They've saved about $2,000 and they have it stowed away in a suitcase, ready for their trip. But then their plans abruptly change. The economic panic of the Great Depression has spread to Bedford Falls. A big city bank has just gone under, and many townsfolk are convinced that George's small building and loan business is next in line. They are panicking and they arrive at the doorstep of Bailey's Building and Loan as George and Mary are about to head off on their honeymoon, and they want to withdraw their money. George tries to calm them, but they are all scared that they will lose their life savings. And George says to them, "You're thinking of this place all wrong, as if I had the money in a safe out the back. The money's not there. Your money's in Joe's house, right next to yours, and in the Kennedy house, and in Mrs. Macklin's house, and 100 others. That's where your money is," he tells everyone. You see, I think one of the questions is, how do we invest in people? That's what we do as the church. We invest in people, in their lives, in their well-being, spiritually and practically. It's what Dorcas did. She invested into the lives of these widows. And when we come to today and congregational meetings and all those things, we might well ask the question, a bit like those people who rocked up on George's doorstep, where's my money go? Where's my money that I give or that I will give to the church? And the answer is the same as George. Well, it's everywhere. It's over in a garden and a school in Zimbabwe that Marty Lumsden told us about a few weeks ago. It's in that little village in Indonesia that she also told us about. That's where our money is. It's in the girl from Thailand who was rescued from exploitation by Destiny Rescue. That's where our money is. It's in the conversations that take place on a Friday morning here in our grief, loss and dementia group. That's where it is. And just next door in the Mahjong group. And of course, it's not just about where my money is, but it's also, well, where's my time and my effort that I put in, my skills, my abilities, my money, all those things, where that? Well, it's in the exchanges that take place up the back here on Monday to Friday between 9 and 12:30 in the refresh shop. It's in the goods that are sitting on the back seat up there that's bound for the women's refuge. That's where it is. It's in those plants that you have been potting up ready for plant burst in a few weeks. It's in the visits that are made to Vi and Molly and Margaret and Ian and Don and Joan in the residential aged care centres. It's hanging here on the lectern and here. That's where it is. Your money, your abilities, your skills, all that you look to give. It's in that reassuring conversation between the chaplain and a year 9 student at Kenmore High. You're about to see it on our new website. It's in every stitch of the quilt that's been raffled in a few weeks. It's in the banners that will be displayed on the footpath to promote music lovers and cool and classic. And that time and effort will be on display this Thursday morning, as Wendy said, as many people help to bring music lovers together to happen. It's in this building here and downstairs, down in there in the community centre, that enables our community groups to give expression to that which enlivens them, and for groups like AA to help their members be encouraged every second of the day of their lives. Where's my time, my money, my abilities, my efforts? Well, that's where it is. It's all over the place, being invested in people to bring wholeness and fullness of life in the name of the life-giving and compassionate Christ. Let me just say a few brief words about generosity, the third point this morning. We'll look at this a little bit more closely in a few weeks. So next week we'll look at Acts chapter 2 from verses 42 to 47. And we'll spend the next 4 weeks or so in that part of Acts chapter 2. And we'll look a little bit at generosity there. Because the early church was a generous church. Because they recognised that the gospel changed their world. It changed their attitude to what was theirs. Where there was a need, that need was met. It's the same. It's the story of Dorcas. It's the story of Tabitha. There was a need, and she met that need. Generosity is not just about giving money. It's a thing of the spirit. It's a thing of the heart. It's something that is developed within us. It's shaped within us. Sure, generosity is about what we have, and money, and all sorts of things. But generosity is something within us. It's something in the way that we relate to someone else. It's in our speech to each other. And in It's a Wonderful Life, that scene, at the end of that scene, George gives his $2,000 that he and Mary have saved up for their honeymoon. He gives that to the people of Bedford Falls. How much do you need, Fred? Will $20 be enough to get you through this next week? Here's $20. $10, Mary, here's $10. And his $2,000 disappears out of his generosity. What was Dorcas known for? She was known for her love of the skills that she brought, I can remember that they came, if we're in the passage, that when after she dies and she's laying there and Peter comes, these widows bring, and it's that they're wearing the things that Dorcas made for them. And they see that, okay? So this was the thing. So she was known for her, of bringing together her love of Jesus and her love of, as a seamstress, her skills. Where's my money? Well, it's everywhere. It's everywhere in our money, our abilities, our skills, and generosity is something that springs from within us in all aspects of our life. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for your generosity to us. How extraordinary of what you have done for us in and through Jesus. Help us, Lord, particularly over these next few weeks as we reflect deeply about these kind of questions, that you will guide us and lead us, help us in our understanding, and draw us into a future that you are preparing for us. And help us together as a community to be alert to that. Help us to be alert to what you are doing within us and beyond us, and give us the courage to join in. In the name of Christ, amen.